Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and today is Friday. Well, I guess for me that doesn't make much of a difference because I work every day. Probably more hours than I should. But for everybody that's on that 9-to-5 grind, today is Friday, and I'm so happy for you. I want everybody to go out this weekend, and if you can, take bunches and bunches of pictures of political yard signs and email them to me. Email them to fb@liferemixed.net. I want to see all the yard signs that are all over different places of the country. I really, you know, this stuff just makes me kind of woozy on the inside. This whole political thing, like everybody is talking about politics now. I don't know. I've always kind of been into it. I've always voted, always taken my kids to vote. But by no means does that make me better than anybody else. It's just perhaps I recognize the need to actively participate in civics a little sooner than others. This morning, I had an absolutely wonderful conversation with a dear friend of mine, a friend of mine that's, he and I have been friends for like 10 years, and he's just like one of the coolest, most mellow people that I know. Never got on his bad side. I'm sure that, you know, he has a mean streak, but we actually got into a wonderful conversation about politics, and he had very strong opinions, and he said, "Cy, I am a Hispanic American, and I don't want Barack speaking specifically to targeted races," because I said, well, he's not speaking to African Americans, and all y'all know, I'm a registered independent, and I look at Republican, and I look at Democrat, and I always have felt, who do I feel can do the best job, as opposed to being aligned with any political party. And he made some extremely valid points, but I still stuck to my guns when I said, Hillary Clinton spoke to women, McCain and Palin are speaking to their constituents, and I felt that Barack Obama has slighted African Americans during the course of this election. He has blatantly, and I'm saying this based on the knowledge that I have right now, overly avoided African American media. And if I'm incorrect with that statement, I stand to be corrected, and I ask that somebody please correct me. But based on my research, and you all know I am a researcher, I don't see where he has made a, his campaign has made it a concerted effort to advertise on African American media or African American publications. Dare I say he already assumed that he was going to get that vote, so it was unnecessary to spend money in that area. Let's talk about it. Well, today we're not talking about it. Today we're talking to a great guest who I'll introduce in a minute. But I did want to share the wonderful conversation that I had with my friend this morning. So based on that, he is a great guy, and we're working on a whole bunch of stuff behind the scenes today and this weekend to bring you a dynamic show with some heavy hitters on Monday and Tuesday. So you guys have to tune in to see that. Now that I took a deep breath and got that all out in one breath, just a couple more things. To all of my listeners, that I have your email address, and you all know who you are because I communicate with you on a regular basis outside of the show, I will be emailing you a complimentary ebook copy of Politics Remixed, which is in stores on Tuesday, which is on Election Day. So if I don't have your email address, the only thing I ask you very respectfully is do not take my doggone book and copy it and make money off of it. I'm sending out a complimentary ebook because I want you guys all to get the information that's inside. I am covering the Constitution. I'm including women's suffrage. I'm including the Voter Rights Act of 1965, which in effect eliminated the literacy requirement for people to be able to vote. I'm including my opinion about Sarah Palin. Actually, I call it, well, you got it, you'll see it in the book, but I do a really really cool comparison between Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton based on the fact that they're both women but are definitely on opposite sides of the spectrum because of their party and political affiliation. And then, of course, I include my thoughts about the candidacy of Barack Obama, because this book is so thoroughly inspired by the candidacy of Barack Obama and all of the wonderful things that he has been able to accomplish in a very short time. So whether you like him or not, you're a Democrat or Republican, I think we cannot discount or reduce the fact or denigrate the fact that he has done the face of politics, the way we do and view and get down in politics is changed forever as of the day he announced his candidacy. And it goes from soup to nuts, from the way he has financed his campaign, $5, $10, $15 contributions, the way he has run his campaign. I mean, any political pundit will tell you he has run a masterful campaign. It has been meticulously developed, meticulously executed, and anybody that has ever had the nerve or gall to question his ability to run a government, look how he has run an almost flawless campaign over all these months. And you know something? This dude stays calm and cool under all circumstances. Did y'all hear, and I put it on my blog, that John McCain actually bused in 4,000 students to his rally yesterday, and it only held 6,000 people? And a lot of political pundits, and I'm not going to get into who, but a lot of political pundits are saying that's clearly an indication of his campaign running out of steam. So enough about that. Let me see what's going on in the chat room. Let me welcome everybody into the chat room. Hi, Brother Marcus. I see you in the chat room. The High Road, good morning to you. Peace and blessings, True. Sai, Brother Marcus. True View, hello, family. True says to be in everyone's presence. High Road says likewise. Let's see who else. We have a guest. So hello to our guest who's listening. That is, welcome to Life Remixed Radio. Everybody, I don't see Drop and Seed Radio, Tiff, and a couple other people. They'll probably be joining us soon. You know, and to all the other guests, we have so many guests in the chat room, but it's just people that I see every day, and I can't always keep my eyeballs on the chat room because I'm hosting the show. So that's enough about that. Let me just give you a couple more programming pieces. Well, look at that. Tiff just joined us. I just talked her up. let me just give you a couple more programming pieces, and we're going to get right into our guests. Join liferemix.net, our new social network. I said it yesterday. You know, the conversation in the chat room, I have to do a countdown to shut down the chat room after the show. So if you join liferemix.net, it's a social network where we can all chit-chat with each other, exchange emails and all that good stuff. And then that way I can communicate with everybody about the show, about topics, about a whole lot of happenings that are going on in my world, good, bad, or indifferent, on the show. So please take a moment to join Life Remix. Last thing, please follow me on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/Cy Brown, Cy Brown Media, actually, and that way you can get all of my updates through Twitter. One more thing. I know I keep saying one more thing, but I just have so much information to share with you all. One more thing. Yesterday we had a Bible study, a life study, a God study, and that's the words that keep coming out of my mouth, and that's the words that I keep calling it, because I don't want to necessarily call it a Bible study. I just want to call it us getting together and trying to figure this whole thing out so we can be better us's, as I always say. Please let me know your feedback from yesterday's show. Send it to me in an email, sb@liferemix.net. If somebody can put my email in the chat room, it would be greatly appreciated, sb@liferemix.net. That way we can let Dewan know the direction to take next week's lesson in, because we don't want him to keep showing up, which he does and does a great job every day, and him not have any feedback. You know, we talk a lot behind the scenes before the show and then immediately after the show to make sure we're bringing forth exactly the information that God places on our hearts to share with you. But we want to make sure you're getting fed spiritually, so if that makes sense to everybody. So just let us know if we're on the right track, if you want to continue to take the show in that direction. True, thank you. It's Life Remixed, R-E-M-I-X-E-D. So it's sb@liferemix.net. Thanks, Tiff. Thanks, True. Thanks, everybody, for putting it up in the chat room for me. I appreciate it. Last thing, I need you guys to also tell me if my sound is not good, because I listened to yesterday's show, and the sound quality was horrible. I mean, I can be critical of myself as well. I'm not that big to say. And it just didn't sound good, and I can't figure out why. So if by chance during the show, I'm testing all new headphones and new mics, so the next couple of shows may sound a little different because I'm trying to get new equipment and just make sure I bring you a crisp, clear show every single day at 12 noon. So if the sound quality is not good, or if I fade in or if I fade out, I know you're going to tell me, because you want to hear a good show and I want to deliver a good show. It's no good to bring you really good content and really good guests every single week and you can't hear me or it's muffled. So this is just part of Cy Brown Growing Life Remixed Radio, just making sure that everything is done in an excellent way to the best of my ability. So that is that. Did I miss anything? You guys in the chat room, let me know. Did I miss anything? Oh, real quick, True says to Tiff, what's up with the sit-ups? I'm about to go do that right now, Tiff says. Well, let me just say one thing, too, and Marcus, I'm going to bring you in a second. After all that talk in the chat room yesterday about, food, I had a teeny-weeny bite of a turkey burger right before the show started yesterday. That was my first morsel of meat in a very long time. I do eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day, which is probably not the best thing, which is probably why my cholesterol is so high, because I load it with peanut butter with a little bit of jelly on whole wheat bread. But I'm almost to the point of no meat, and that's meat, period. Like the chicken, well, definitely no pork and no beef. I've done no pork and no beef for a very long time. And I'm now down to chicken, fish, and turkey. And not to gross anybody out, but I had some chicken not too long ago, and it just didn't look right. It didn't smell right. It was chewy, and it just scared the hell out of me while I was eating it that I'm eating chewy chicken. And it's chicken that I bought from the grocery store. I cooked in my own house, so it wasn't that I was in a restaurant. But I just took chicken breast and seasoned it with, sauteed garlic and some stuff and made my house smell really good. But it was chewy. And as I was eating it, I was thinking in my brain, I really am about 2 seconds from giving up chicken. So, yeah. Tiff says, Cy, I'm so excited for you. Come home, Mama. Tiff says, make sure you eat natural peanut butter and jelly with no high fructose corn syrup. Well, I use this thing called Pollander's All Fruit. And it I think it's like made with fruit juice or something. But anyway, I am 2 seconds away from, probably not even 2 seconds, probably a nanosecond away from no more meat. Just because after that experience with the chicken, and in my own house last week, I was like, I don't know if this is for me. So for all of you carnivores, that's up to you, whatever, that's your choice. But I think I'm really, really close to hitting that road with Tiff. I'm not sure if I'm going raw vegan like Tiff, that's taking it to the head, but I'm very close to no meat. So let me read a couple more things in the chat room because it's very active as always, but I want to get into our guest. I want to keep him holding. How did you guys get talking about Kimbo Slice in the chat room? You guys will be talking about me and my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Oh, because we're talking about Tiff's six-pack. Anyway, let me just... Hey, Mama Smokey, how are you? Brother Marcus said he emailed me twice and it kicked back to him both times. I don't know why that happened, Marcus. I'll check that out right now. I don't know. I have no idea. The High Road says, don't eat nothing that used to have a face or changes color when you cook it. Well, spinach changes color when you cook it. So anyway, Tiff says, when you get off meat, your weight will drop immediately, your energy levels will rise, and you will be given clarity. Well, I'm almost there now anyway. But anyway, let me get into our guest. I just want to say, hey, Derek Eady, who just joined us in the chat room. I've been on his show before. And to Mama Smokey, my surrogate mama, the one who I call when I'm, ready to scream at the universe. She always talks me off the ledge. But now let's just get into our guest. Marcus, are you there?
I am here, my sister. How are you today?
I am well. I'm happy to have you on the show today. I'm not sure why the email kicked back, but while you're telling all of my listeners who you are and before I start getting into questions and things like that, I'm going to log into my email really, really quickly. Where did you send it?
To the email that you sent to me earlier and to the one that the sister posted in the chat room.
That is weird. I don't know why it's kicking back. Anyway, let me give you another email address. You ready? You have a pen?
Yep. Go ahead.
It's S as in Sam, D as in boy, at SaiBrown.com. And that's SaiBrowne.com.
Okay. I'm going to try that email address right now.
What he's sending me, everybody, is his e-book. You know, I usually try to read everybody's book before I bring them on the show, but Marcus and I had a little lapse in communication. This is just so funny. I feel like I'm talking to you guys, and we're all sitting in my living room. I don't even feel like I'm doing a radio show. But anyway, Marcus, get that over to me, and I could take a look at it. But, you know, he's fully vetted, everybody. I don't bring any okey-dokes on my show. Last thing, Tiff says, my husband is also a vegan with me, and he lost 65 pounds. Hell, if I lost 65 pounds, I would be down to, like, my high school weight of, like, 125. I am, y'all do the math. You guys are smart people. I think it's my weakness for chocolate chip cookies and brownies and popcorn. I don't know if popcorn does anything. But anyway, Marcus, tell everybody who you are, and we're gonna really get into today's show. I don't want to lose too much more time.
Okay, my name is Marcus Gerard, and I am a motivational speaker and trainer. I've been working for the last 15 years, working with our young people and adults, and doing staff development trainings and whatnot. Really trying to help people see the value of themselves, the value of the work that they're doing, and their value to their families and to the overall community. I am very excited and very thankful to be on your show, sister, and I'm praying that every word that comes forth from my mouth will be something of inspiration and motivation to your listening audience, and I'm very happy to be here today.
You know, I'm sure it will, and that's really what this whole show is about, and this is our mantra. This is what we talk about day in and day out, day in and day out, remixing everything and rethinking everything that we were taught from birth to live as successfully as we can. I mean, I have no hidden agenda but to see everybody live their purpose, find their lane, and rock their lane. So any guest that I can find that can help my listeners do that, then, well, we're gonna keep it moving just like that. You know, Marcus, tell everybody a little bit about your book, because I read your bio and I did my homework, even though I have not read the book. I did my homework and I read a lot about you. Tell everybody about the book, that you're from Brooklyn and all that, and then I'll get into my questions.
All right. I have done a great deal of work with our young black males, and I'm very passionately concerned about the state of the black male. I've gone into the schools, and I've talked with them all over America, and I see that if we don't begin to try to provide some guidance to the young men as people who are fathers and mothers and parents, all of us are what I call the wise men and women. You don't necessarily have needed to go to a cloud or go up in a high mountain somewhere in order for you to be wise. We like to say on, you know, in the workshops that I do, that smart is not what you are. Smart is what you do. You know, when you do smart things, when you do intelligent things, that makes you wise. You know, like Forrest Gump said the opposite of that. He said, stupid is as stupid does. Well, we're saying also that smart is what smart does. And so because you and I all have collectively become, you know, got through those teenage years, we're now in our 30s and 40s, some in our 20s, we are the wise men and women that have to guide this particular generation of young men and women. And so I wrote a book that is called that. It's called The Wise Men and Women Have Sent Me to Tell You. Not that I had an epiphany one night and I decided that I had something to say, but because we all are collectively on this journey, we might as well try to guide somebody while we're here. I grew up listening to gospel music a great deal, and I remember many, many songs that talked about, if I can just touch just one person, if I can touch somebody's hand and make this world a better place. And it is through touching one, each one teach one. All of those concepts can be meshed down, molded into just really one thing, that we have a responsibility to our fellow man, our fellow woman, and our young people need what we say in the church all the time, which is that he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. There has never been a generation that needed that applied to them more than this current generation of young people. I have worked in so many instances with our young men, and they really do need guidance. That is the premium thing that our young men need. They have enough Reeboks. They have enough Air Jordans. They have enough shoes and clothes and whatnot. But the one thing that they need in order to successfully make it from one stage to a next is more guidance. And that is the prerequisite thing that all of us must be giving our young people and our children. And this book that I wrote is full of guidance for young people. And it is the best information that I have been able to collect over the 15 years that I've been working directly with young people and young men. It is the best that I've been able to come up with. And so I took all of that information that I had and I really melted it down and put it into common everyday language that these young men and young women can get it on. I wrote the book for all young people generally, but it has a special emphasis on our young black males particularly and specifically. And so that is some of what's in the book. It's a lot of guidance, it's a lot of wisdom, and it's a lot of understanding to help that young man understand who he is on a spiritual level. Who are you physically? Who are you mentally and psychologically? Trying to help him understand that you don't just exist on one level, young brother. You exist on several levels. Who are you sexually? Who are you financially? Who are you socially? Trying to make him aware, trying to make young people aware that you have a responsibility to become educated on all of those levels as well.
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, I'm definitely not one of those people that blame hip-hop for everything, but I think hip-hop has played, just the whole culture of hip-hop has played such a critically important role in defining who our young men are right now. So many men identify with the thuggery and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and not understanding that a real man does pull up his pants. And I write my books in threes. Just by virtue of how God pours this stuff into my head. Politics Remixed is out, and this is not a plug for that. The next book is Life Remixed, which is really where I'm taking all of our conversations, all of our dialogue. That book is coming out in November. And the next book that I keep saying I'm going to write is about black men. First of all, I love black men. I think black men are the absolute bomb. And it's not even necessarily like black, just men of color. I don't want to, because they're all shades of black. But men, just black men. So for argument's sake, we're going to leave it at that. But the point is, I have always said I think black men get the short end of the stick on several fronts, just from the whole court system, just through, driving while black and all that other stuff. And I think what has happened is there's no definitive person or role for them to follow. And I hate to fall into that trap of we need more role models, but I think the pressure from the streets, the pressure from our media influence is so great that how can men, young black men growing up, stay strong and stay firm and stay grounded because they're being desensitized all the way around the board? I remember, is that your phone?
That's not me.
I'm using a new mic and headset, so that might have been my headset. Sorry. I remember when Salt and Pepper had Let's Talk About Sex, and a line in their song said, "Those who think it's dirty have a choice. Pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off." And this was, I don't even remember when Let's Talk About Sex came on. Somebody in the chat room can remember or Google it real quick. But they said, "Those who think it's dirty have a choice. Pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off." That option has now been stripped away from parents. We can no longer tell our kids, turn that music off or turn that radio off, or you're not going to play that music inside of our house, because it's everywhere you go. Just there's been a whole, I don't know if this is a word, desensitization or something, where everybody is becoming desensitized to what is right and what is wrong. And we now live in a world where everything is permissible, everything is allowable, there's no rules, there's no nothing. And our black men, unfortunately, are overwhelmingly the victims of this society that anything goes. And I think it's because there's nobody firm in place in all areas of their life to keep them focused. And I'll tell you, my younger son, my children have always been in charter schools. I'm a big proponent of charter schools, even though we had a show and I said charter schools are not the best place for children. But I always believed in charter schools because my children wore uniforms to school, and I am a big advocate of school uniforms. And there was a black dean in the middle school that my son was in. Do you know he walked around there like a father figure? Now, thank God my children have a father that's in the home. But for all of those children that did not have a father in the home, he was their surrogate father. And they were afraid to go to this man's office just because there was a black man in place who they can identify with, who was giving them direction and guidance every single day. And I just think there's that critical piece missing in our neighborhoods, in our environments, for young men to follow. I don't know. Are those some of the things that you touch on in your book?
I do, and I was sitting here smiling as you were talking, because other hosts that I've talked with on the radio did not have that level of understanding about the impact that rap music is playing on these young people, particularly our young men. Message of rap music is essentially, it's three things that are going to be promoted in the rap song. It's illicit sex. You can get with any female you want, beat it down, you know, bust it up, you know, all the latest music, lick the lollipop, all that kind of stuff. It's all right there in the music that our young people are listening to. It's going to be a great deal of talk about violence, hurting somebody, killing somebody, murking somebody. Murking season is in. It's going to also promote drugs and alcohol and the taking in and ingesting in your system, getting high, getting weed, get smoked up, you know, get crumped up, whatever the way they saying it, and it passes down, and it's not really passing on intelligence to our young people. And again, like you said, it's not a put down of the music. It's talking about, you know, to this young man who's very impressionable, it's reshaping his values. And
well,
so
Marcus,
you find
Marcus, I got to add something. Let me interject something with all due respect. I made a lot of money from the hip-hop industry, and I remember when I wrote my book, Can Hip-Hop Be Holy? Or even when I wrote my first one, From Hip-Hop to Heaven, back in 2003, everybody thought I was going to bash hip-hop. I'm not a hip-hop basher as far as a collective consciousness of individuals doing their thing, creating their own road. But I just read something this morning, a piece on thedailybeast.com. If you can, everybody, go to thedailybeast.com. I'm not saying yay or nay that blog, but it's the piece is on there. And it's written by Ture. And it's got an interview he did with Soulja Boy Tell 'Em, and about a song he did, Superman That Ho. And it was very, very popular last year, where the guy has an orgasm on the girl's back and puts the sheet on her, so when she stands up, it's like she has a cape. So he talked to him about that song, and let me tell you, this song was very popular. People didn't even understand what he was singing, and people were still singing the song. Well, article, interview, they asked him, you know, who do you hate the most in history? And he said, the slave master out of Africa. Ture was like, people said, Hitler.
You are going in and out. I'm not sure, everybody. I'm hoping that she comes back. This is Brother Marcus, and I'm hoping our host comes back. Can you all hear me in the chat room? Can you all hear me on in the chat room? I'm not sure if you all can hear me.
Sorry about that. I heard you said that I was going in and out. That's why I said at the top of the show that I'm testing new headphones and new mics and all that stuff. So sorry about that, everybody. But what I was saying about Soulja Boy is that he had this song, and people didn't even realize what he was saying. And it was a very popular song. But anyway, he was giving credit to slave masters for getting us out of Africa. So, I mean, this is a type of ignorance that's being perpetuated. Now, clearly we can say ignorance is bliss because this guy's only 18 or 19 years old. But I think what he's saying is very indicative of the way people think about this country right now, young people.
Hello? Well, I'm going to just continue. I was told by Truba or Trubu Radio that I should just continue talking about the book until she returns. This book is, again, it's called The Wise Men and Women Have Sent Me to Tell You. And that's one of the main issues that I address in the book, the how the music today is absolutely.
Right. I'm reading in the chat room that there's a delay. Funny, she was just asking your opinion about the sound quality. Yeah, because I can't figure it out. But anyway, we're just going to keep it pushing and keep the show moving. So anyway, let's keep talking. I'll work through my technical issues. It just, as the show gets better and better, I'm trying to refine it. And this is a bad situation, but we'll keep it moving. Marcus, keep talking.
Okay. I was talking about continuing what you were saying about the music. You can't stop it. You can't almost control it. You can try to control, from my perspective, what your children listen to, what you will allow them to listen to as parents. But nowadays, that becomes more challenging because young people are forever with the MP3 players. You know, I've been with young people. They can't hardly enjoy a field trip because they got the MP3 player in their ear consistently all day long, and it's, you know, it's like the scripture says, if I may go spiritual for a moment.
Absolutely.
You know, it says, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them, it's what's coming out of them that defiles them. And our young people have all of this filth going into them, and if what comes into you, what goes into you, is going to come out of you. And so it's a corruption of the moral fiber and character of our young people when they have nothing but of this kind of rap music to listen to. Many, many parents have told me that they have their children growing up in beautiful and fine homes, and they don't understand why their children, why their sons in particular, don't want to do nothing, don't want to be nothing, don't want to have nothing. And then I ask the parents, do you allow your children to sit there and listen to rap music? Rap music undermines a basic sense, some of it. Some rap music undermines a young person wanting to go somewhere, be somebody, do something other than just being a rapper, other than just making fast cash, fast money. And this is a big problem among our young people today, not having someone in their life to help them understand the other side of what living in life is going to be all about. For most of them, they may not understand that. And that's what my book tries to address. You know,
well,
what happens...
I totally agree with you, and like I said, I hope everybody who's listening is, and also it was posted in the chat room. There's a link in the chat room to listen to the full lyrics of Let's Talk About Sex. So anybody that's in the chat room, the link has been posted in the chat room, so if you want to read the lyrics from Salt and Pepper, Let's Talk About Sex. But what I was going to say is not even to make this a whole argument pro or anti rap music, just to make it about what the issue is with our black men. Because I love rap music and because my children grew up with me working in that environment, I've never shunned them from rap music. I always made it acceptable because I'm a creative person. I believe in, you know, in the arts. I'm a big believer in the arts and expression. So I never suppressed rap music from them. But let's remember, through up until the last few years, with the exclusion of the early 90s with gangster rap, rap music really was not where it is right now. My son now in the morning getting ready for school, he goes to LimeWire or whatever and downloads songs. And I love Jadakiss, but he's got Jada and Mano and all this, and the stuff that's coming out of his room at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, Miles, you cannot listen to this. This is not acceptable. I'm not allowing that. First of all,
right.
He cuts me a dirty look because
right.
He's like, yeah,
right.
Right. But after he cuts me a dirty look, he turns it off. But I, as a parent, a 37-year-old mom, I never would have imagined in a million years that this art form that I so dearly love would go to this. And I do believe it influences our young men because it's so angry. And I think the distinction, and I think this is worth mentioning, white kids, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, or I would give you my exact source, but I've read it in other places, buy rap music more than black. And I don't want to make it necessarily a race issue, but for the sake of this conversation, I will. They believe, they think, in my belief, that there is a distinction between art and life. Art imitates life, or does life imitate art? For them, it is a form of entertainment, so they can draw the distinction and still go to school and do what they're supposed to do, whereas for our young black men, it's not a situation of life imitating art, it's art imitating life. And that's their life. That's their life as they know it. So there is no distinction between what Jada is saying, what I'm trying to think of the people that my kids listen to. Jim Jones is saying, because for them, they can associate so much with these individuals that there isn't a distinction, and by virtue of just their presence, they become quote-unquote role models for our young black men, I believe.
Well, I think that it's very true. If most parents sat there and listened to what these young people, these rappers are saying.
I can't.
Well, I have to, because that is the language of young people, and it is the currency of young people. I can't, in my line of work, which is as a motivational speaker and trainer, if I come to young people just talking about you can be somebody, you can do what you want to do in life, I can say that, but I got to mix in some of the music and the culture and the whatnot, because that side is weighing. It's like an anchor on this young person. And if they don't, you know, if they look at me as a lane, if I don't respect their culture, if I'm not buying into their culture, I have to give them the perception that I know their culture. I'm down with their culture. I'm not judging their culture, because a lot of young people say that we are judging them through our judgment of the music. The music is just as much a part of them as breathing. When we talk about their music, when we appear to condemn their music, they turn away from us because they believe that they are just as much a part of the music as the musicians themselves. They may not be on that stage rapping, but they feel everything that the rapper is saying. This is why the rappers are so popular and powerful in the lives of our young people. People to this day, even though Tupac has been gone for nearly 13, 14 years, they will argue you down that Tupac is alive. We made Tupac the black elf.
I think Tupac is alive too, for the record.
Okay, all right.
I'm waiting for another new album. I'm a Tupac fan. But here's the thing. Here's where the quandary takes place. And y'all know I always put myself on the front line first. I have the best of Biggie in my car, and I love listening to Crush on You. And matter of fact, I hate to keep going back to this, but when you go to one of my other blogs, Who Shot Ya is the opening music. If you go to politicsremix.com, you'll hear Who Shot Ya. That's the opening, because I love that song. I love Crush on You. I love One More Chance. I'm just a Biggie fan. I even like the 10 Crack Commandments. Whether you guys are going to shoot me down for this or not, I just think the 10 Crack Commandments by Biggie is a hot song. But I'm not a crackhead, nor do I sell crack. But then there comes a point where I cannot listen to the 10 Crack Commandments with my kids in the car, because I don't think it's appropriate for them to listen to. And then by virtue of not playing it, it almost makes me a hypocrite, because I got in the car one day and my 14-year-old got in with me, and I had some Biggie song, I can't remember which one it was, blasted, where the last time I had gotten out of the car, that song was playing. He was like, uh-huh, I knew Mom used to listen to Biggie. And we laughed and joked about it, because I'm like, yeah, I still do. But I just can't get over how these young men are seeking to use our hip-hop icons as role models. I don't see it. I don't know why it's happening.
Well, again, I don't feel like we can run away from it. I mean, if you took your children and locked them in a castle way up somewhere, they would still hear the rap music, because Pookie and Ray Ray and them is going to be driving by the castle with the booming system, and them young people going to hear it. They're going to hear it wherever they go. They go in the bathroom, they hear it. They go into the school, they hear it. They go in the church basement, they hear it. I mean, a lot of us as adults, the thing that I've discovered about working with young people and trying to tell them something is they just want us to be real and keep it real with them. Yes, I listen to it. Yes, it's not the best music to listen to. And here's some alternatives that you can choose to listen to. And look, here's the other side of it. My life is the best indicator to my child whether or not they should follow the reasoning of the rap song. It's the way I live. Children are more interested in the way we live as adults, and that's going to be the greatest influencer of them than anything else. We can talk about the music all day long. But if we are living a life that's wholesome and good, and trying to show young people an example of a family, and trying to teach them right, and trying to be good people, and trying to promote stability in the family, no matter what the outside world does, these young people at the end of the day is going to come back home to the family structure that they grew up experiencing. I know it was that way for me, and I know that it's probably going to be the same way for my children and your family too, listening on this line. You know, we don't need to condemn a dirty glass. We just need to hold a clean glass up to it. And then children will naturally choose that clean glass to drink out of.
Well, that's exactly why I stopped following rap music to a large degree in my presentations because I lecture as well. And one of the things that I was doing was using my desire to be relevant as an excuse. I have not listened to Hot 97 in New York City for I don't know how long. I just cannot stomach what I hear on the radio. Maybe I'm getting old or whatever it is. I just can't. Like, I still have Eric B. and Rakim in my car. And I have The Art of Storytelling by Slick Rick in my car. And I'm not trying to just, you know how our parents still want to listen to The Temptations and The Four Tops. It's not that I refuse to grow up because I do like a lot of music. I'm a Jay-Z fan and will buy a Jay-Z CD every single time he comes out with one. So I don't think it's necessarily shunning rap music or shunning hip-hop or shunning these images. But I just think as far as where I choose to spend my money, where I choose to support and the images that I choose to bring into my house, I have to be very, very, I think we all have to be very, very careful. But going back to your glass, a clean glass versus a dirty glass, that's exactly why I will not use the excuse of trying to stay relevant to listen to the music, because if I continually hold up my clean glass, at some point these young people are going to say, I don't want that glass, I want her clean glass. I'm going to continue to stand and be a beacon of light as best I can because I'm not perfect, and to be an example so that they can see that there is a better way. I like, you know, shorter skirts and sometimes lower cut shirts. But that doesn't make me a chick that wants to be in a video. It just makes me a girl who likes to dress fun. I just think it's really difficult, and I'm so happy that you wrote a book that speaks to this issue. One of my listeners, True View, he and I said we're going to talk and collaborate on a couple of things because I really want to write a book from a woman's perspective about things that black men experience growing up, and a lot of it comes firsthand because I'm raising two teenagers, and I see the stuff they go through. I see it very, very clearly. I see how when we go visit my grandmother, which is an all-black neighborhood, how they add their swagger, but then when we come back home, which is a different neighborhood, a very mixed neighborhood in Jersey, they stand up a little straighter. When we're in the grocery store, they lose that swagger. So there definitely is a distinction in how our young men act based upon our environment.
I agree, and I just want to say that this book, it is a book that really explains to young people about the impact that the lyrics and the music is having on them. And I take the lyrics and I take a young person's mind in an alternative direction. It was like a song, I referenced a song in the book by a group that P. Diddy had out called Them Boys in the Hood. And I talk about the lyrics and the hook of that song, which says, there's some boys in the hood that sell anything for profit. 5 o'clock on the corner clocking. Yeah, we know we rob a dead nigga trying to stop us. You can get it anywhere, anybody. And I take them through that, and I write the lyrics down in the book. But then I come back to the point that they making, which is when they acknowledge that they know that they are wrong, but we dare a nigga to try to stop us. And I make the point in the book that when you get to a point in your life where you know you are wrong, then the only person that has to stop you is you.
Well,
you have to stop.
That's, I don't want to cut you off, but that speaks exactly to what I've always been saying, how, you know, my kids are good, but, well, the teacher did this, the teacher didn't like me, and I'm like, uh-uh. Come on. At some point, we have to stop blaming other outside forces and take responsibility for ourselves. And that's one of my biggest gripes with the church, is that the church allows an entire congregation to put all the blame on a devil as opposed to ever taking a look at their actions and themselves. Let me read some stuff that's going on in the chat room because we have a very active chat room, and I've been in and out of the show. You guys can see I'm not as active as I usually am because I was trying to deal with a little bit of our technical sound difficulties. But I want to catch up on some of the stuff that's going on in the chat room. They were talking about Gucci Mane and how he's foul, and Tip says it sucks for kids that want to be a part of hip-hop, but there's only negative music. I can't agree with there's only negative music. They only play negative music, because once you tap into a lot of other sources, there's a lot of positive rap music that's out there. that doesn't have everybody Superman in that hole, but you just have to really look for it. They're so intertwined, now it's that hard to separate the youth from the hip-hop culture. Well, yeah, and that's because the hip-hop culture perpetuates youth. It's a perpetually young culture. Hip-hop in itself, just as a standalone, perpetuates the youth, you know, just being young, perpetually young. I can't say it any other way. Let me read some more stuff. How Elegant says, how can you not listen to Biggie? I don't know. I love Biggie, so it is what it is. He used to be in the tunnel. For anybody from New York that ever went to the tunnel, it was fun, you know. It was just a fun time. True says, Public Enemy was good. It's the message. Dropping C put Fight the Power with exclamation points. He also put Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant dot, dot, dot. How Elegant put Can't Trust It. How Elegant said that I just learned the words this year. I don't usually listen to the words. Hyro says true, so we have to maintain the integrity of that family structure. 911 is a joke in your town. You guys are so funny. Dropping Seed said I miss the Native Tongue Posse. Oh, let me tell you, why did I download Buddy from YouTube, and I have that video on my blog. To me, that song I think is like 7 or 8 minutes long. For anybody that's not familiar, go to YouTube and check out the video, Buddy. It's got the Jungle Brothers, De La Soul, Queen Latifah, A Tribe Called Quest, and Moni Love. So, and then we just cannot forget about Dougie Fresh, who's just a bomb, who probably sells out everywhere he goes. Another comment in the chat room, I don't know how the show got to be so much on hip-hop, but I guess this just shows how intricately intertwined black men are, our young black men, and hip-hop really is. This is interesting because, Marcus, I had you come on to talk about your book and its lessons, and we got into a topic, you know, our conversation went this way. But, you know, that's the beauty of this show. We just let it flow. Let me just read a couple more things, and I'm going to bring Marcus back in. I believe they should be exposed to other facets of life. Not everybody in the hood is gangster. Well, yeah, there's a lot of hardworking people in the hood. Young folks should try reading Tupac's works, A Rose That Grew from Concrete. Yeah. Why isn't hip-hop speaking to these kids? Well, there's a lot of good hip-hop out there. And like I said, I'm not trying to bash hip-hop. It's just not played on Clear Channel or Radio 1. The conscious ones aren't willing to come together and sacrifice to get it done. I can't agree with that either, because you've got Common, you've got Mos Def, you've got Talib Kweli. They are out there. You've got KRS-One, who was my boss for a while. Dropping Seed said, put meana, 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 mean. I know what that means. The next word says, hello, it's the soul. Trooping in with, well, I'm not a singer, so I'm not even going to get into that. And then the high road put, hold up, wait a minute. Okay, we're going to do a whole show Monday. I'm going to see if I can get the Jungle Brothers on the show Monday. I don't know if I can make that happen, but I'm going to sure try. I just want to thank everybody for listening. We're down to the last 5 minutes of the show. To everybody, you guys are such troopers for helping me get through and sticking with me through these stupid technical difficulties today with sound. Don't know what it was. Tried to get it fixed, but it's all good. We made it through another show of Life Remix Radio. Marcus, tell everybody where to get your book.
They can go to my website at www.marcusgerard.com. That's www.marcusgerard.com. That's MarcusGerard.com. That's MarcusGerard.com. And I just wanted to mention to you that I'm also out of New York City. For all of these New York and New Jersey people on this chat in the chat room with you, and I'm really enjoying this session here at midday with you all, and I really want everybody to know that, you know, our young people are wonderful, and they deserve the same energy that somebody was kind enough to give us when we were coming along. And if they're wayward, then we can help to pull them back into the direction of more right thinking and more right action by us not being so judgmental of them and really trying to provide guidance to them. I have found that when you share knowledge with young people that they don't know, and you share it in a way that's not pontificating to them, but but you're really just trying to share something with them. Share a little bit and keep it moving. Share a little bit more and keep it moving. And share a little bit more and keep it moving. If we come at young people right, they will respond right. The problem is in these schools is that they so focused on testing. That's all they focus on. They don't focus on counseling these young people. They don't focus even on bringing in speakers enough like we had. When I was growing up in Brooklyn, New York, we had a speaker a week coming in there to try to get us and get our minds right and get us thinking about tomorrow and get us on that right road. But nowadays the schools don't have any money. They don't necessarily have the desire because this No Child Left Behind, it's all about test. And our young people are not doing well even in that regard because 50% of young people who enter into high school today will drop out tomorrow. America has nearly a 50% dropout rate across the board. That's black, brown, red, yellow, and white children. And we have to try to help first our own children to stay in school and go ahead and try to get that piece of paper. And then we need to try to help somebody else. You need to be very concerned about your cousins, your nephews, your nieces. You need to be concerned about your family members because in today's time, if God has blessed you to know a little bit more, then that means that you are a little bit more responsible than everybody else. So,
well,
sister, I just want to say thank you.
You're absolutely right. We're down to the last 2 minutes of the show, and that's actually what we talked about yesterday during our weekly Ecclesia Bible study, that the more you know, the bigger the obligation is to you to share. I don't want to run out of time for today's show, so I just want to thank you for listening. Everybody, since this was such a hot topic, I'm going to see if I can try to get us a whole old school hip-hop week. We just bring all the artists in for a conversation. I don't know when I'll be able to make that happen, but I'll start working on that right away. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much. I love you all for listening. And remember, the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is. And wherever you are, God is. It's your girl, Cy Brown. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I'll see you on Monday. Peace.
Thank you.